I don't see anybody giving me a thumbs down, so I guess everybody can hear me okay. I really hope that this time together will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. It's so easy to, as we listen to the news and so on and so forth, to be really taken up with the situation of the world and how desperate it is. But our God is mighty and powerful. I want to share with you this evening thoughts from Psalm 121. So if you're able to, you can turn to Psalm 121. And it's very interesting that hymn number 121 is kept, safely kept. And if you were reading over Psalm 121, surely the title that you would put above that psalm is the word kept. So I'll just read to you the words of hymn number 121, and then we'll read the psalm together. So hymn number 121, kept, safely kept, my fears away are swept. In weakness to my God I cling. Though foes be strong, I calmly sing, kept, safely kept. Kept by his power, whatever dangers lowered, the strength of God's almighty arm, to shield my soul from every harm, kept by his power. Through simple faith, believing what he saith, unshaken on my God I lean, and realize his power unseen, but known to faith. Kept part of the way? No, kept all the way, e'en to salvation's day. His mighty love ne'er cold shall wax, nor shall his powerful grasp relax through all the way. So then let's take a look at Psalm 121. I'll read it to you. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If we were just to take a quick overview of this psalm, what do we learn? We learn that our Lord, he is the keeper from all danger. He is unceasing in his care. He is always available. He keeps us in all seasons. He keeps us from all evil. He keeps the soul as well as the body. He keeps us in all circumstances for all times. In this psalm, there is a repetition of several words. The word help is used twice. Keeper or keepeth is used three times, and the word preserve is used three times. Is it any wonder then that we can put the word kept above this psalm? This psalm assures us of the constant presence and help of the Lord. There's nothing complicated about the meaning of these words. If you look up the Hebrew meaning of help, it is just, that's what it is. It is to protect or to help, to succor. The Hebrew meaning of the words keepeth or keeper and preserve, they all have the same meaning. It is to hedge about, to guard, to protect. You know, the more I read this psalm, the more I came to the conclusion that it is extremely personal. God is always there for you and me in all circumstances of life. This is a psalm of God's sustaining power. This psalm is a song of degrees or of ascents. The psalm is one of the 15 psalms between Psalm 120 and 134 that are perhaps sung or chanted by Hebrew pilgrims as they made their way up to Jerusalem to the feasts. If we were to look over to Psalm 122 in verses 1 and 2, we would get that in that psalm. And so this psalm could be our personal chant or our personal reminder as we make our way home to heaven. Let's get into some of the verses then. Verse number 1. Apparently there are 7 hills around Jerusalem. Psalm 125 verse 2 tells us, as the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so is the Lord is around about his people from henceforth, even forever. There is speculation as to why the people were looking up to the hills, but there is no speculation as to where their help was coming from. It's interesting, a verse in Jeremiah 3:23, it says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. And you get that thought as we move into verse 2. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. This is a very bold, confident statement, but it's a statement that you and I can make. The look for help, it didn't stop at the hills. This is a look that goes right to the Lord, the one that made heaven and earth. How often we are told to get our eyes off of earth. Look vertical rather than horizontal. Tilt your head back. Lift your eyes to the Lord. Leave your earthly vision behind and travel to the heavens. By doing that, we can lift our eyes higher than our circumstances, higher than our troubles and trials. Then we can see our Heavenly Father, the one who calls us by name. We were thinking of looking at the Lord a couple of Sundays ago from Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the verse goes, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word look in that verse, as we were reminded, is to consider attentively. To do something attentively is to do it with our full attention and focus. We look to him because of who he is. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the leader and completer of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. We look to him because of what he did. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Truly, he is our Savior. We look to him because of where he reigns at the right hand of the Father. He is on the throne of the universe. I can't help but think about part of my career because I was a sign fabricator for the city of Winnipeg. And we live in a world surrounded by signs. Every street in the city of Winnipeg is filled with signs. Zoom is a very good thing, but it does not really allow people to get personal with each other. It's not the same as meeting in person. And I wonder if we got really personal and had a one-on-one time of sharing, some within the sound of my voice might be able to put up their own sign. Perhaps your sign would say, help wanted or help needed. Help needed, apply within. Apply that help to my heart. Because it could be that some have a heavy heart. Problems surround you. You are tired or weary. You're lonely. Maybe you've become restless. Maybe you are so looking forward to the Lord's return. Here are a few verses to help us, because maybe you need a little help. And each one of these verses has the word help in it. Psalm 33 and 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41 verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Just as a little aside, it is interesting to note how many times the right hand of God is mentioned in scriptures. Both verses that I've just read from Isaiah mentioned the right hand, and verse 5 of the psalm we're looking at mentions it as well. The right hand of God is an interesting study in itself. It is associated with a person of high rank, putting someone on his right hand, giving him equal honor as himself, and recognizing him as possessing equal dignity and authority. There's a beautiful collection of verses in Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, where we see that God the Father exalting Christ above all others and seating him at the right hand of the Father. This is the one who upholds us with his right hand of righteousness while holding our right hand. Is that not powerful and personal? We move into the second part of verse 2. It's incredible that the creator of this universe actually wants to help me. Every detail of my life, no matter how minute, is known to him. And he wants to walk through this life with me because he will help me. After reading this verse, we could think of other verses as well regarding the one that made heaven and earth. Psalm 102, verse 25, of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Job 7, verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? So we move into verses 3 and 4. God wants his people to be established in a firm place, allowing them to stand and not allowing their foot to be moved. We have the guarantee of stability. The believer's foot will be preserved from being moved. Since the foot speaks of foundation or standing, it means that God will keep his trusting children from slipping or falling. I'm reminded of that hymn that says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. What about the parable of the foundations, of the two foundations from Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27? The foundation that stood firm was built on the rock. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4 tells us that rock is Christ. That's stability. That's a firm foundation, for we're standing on Christ. He is our standing. Proverbs 3, verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. A little bit more on verse 4. In all of this, he is the wakeful, watchful keeper that shall never slumber or sleep. He never did, nor ever will, for he is never weary. He not only does not sleep, but he does not slumber. He has no inclination to sleep. I was thinking about different ones in the scriptures that had important roles that ultimately fell asleep. For example, I was thinking of the story of Paul and Silas from Acts chapter 16. The jailer had been given very specific instructions to guard them, but it took an earthquake to awaken the jailer. If that earthquake had not come, it might have been possible for him to sleep through the entire night. The God that makes the earth, the God that made the earth, he can shape the earth, but he never will be sleeping. It's very interesting that after they had received many stripes, the jailer was told to keep Paul and Silas safely. It almost seems strange that they had been beaten, and then the jailer is told to keep them safely. What was the opening line of our hymn? Kept, safely kept. The last line of the hymn? Through all the way. We have a God that will keep us, that never slumbers and never sleeps. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is not only our keeper, but he is our present keeper, one who is always at our right hand, always available. He is the one that keeps us in all seasons. He's not a fair weather keeper. He is a keeper in all seasons, by day and by night. Isaiah 25, verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Verse 7, the Lord is a keeper from all evil, the evil of sin, the evil of trouble. He will keep us from doing evil as we abide in him. Well, we come to verse 8. The Lord keeps us in all circumstances of life. He's the one who will watch over your coming and going today and forevermore. Deuteronomy 28, verse 6 says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Whether it be outward bound or homeward bound, he keeps us in life and in death. Our soul belongs to him. He will continue to care over us from this time forth and even forevermore. He truly is our preserver, our comforter, and shall abide with us forever. We are kept, safely kept by him. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I found it interesting that while reading through William MacDonald, he quotes a poem from Richard Keen, written in 1787. Seems like a long time ago, but the truth of this poem is so good, and it's so current. The poem says, the soul that on Jesus have leaned for repose, he'll never, no, never desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Well, that concludes all I have to say on this psalm. I want you to know that I've made a lot of statements, and Steve Parker has a lot of work to do in his own life. But I've been encouraged and blessed by this. And I hope that you have been too. And I guess we are pretty well near the end, so we'll just close in prayer.